The first reading is from Proverbs 3, beginning in the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. The word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes from Acts 2, beginning in the 42nd verse. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Megiddon. The Gospel of the Lord.
Most Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for just utter kindness to us and all that you have poured out so richly, the grace, the peace, the mercy that's found in your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, be honored here in our midst with all that we are, all that we have, as we turn our eyes to you. By the grace of your Holy Spirit, move among us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're visiting this morning, this is something that we do from time to time because it's important to do. And we're just going to talk about some family things, just for a few minutes, just going to talk about some family things, just to begin our journey here today. And the first we already saw, we're having cake afterwards. We just do that well. Second, we're in a season that's about to come of just some vacation time. Errol and I are going to take some time away and go to a place, dear friends of ours, and I have a cabin in Maine that we've gone to for a lot of years. And so we're going to get some time off. Joshua and Julia are going to take some time off in the days to come. And so we're having a little bit of shifts, but I want you to know that Skip and David and Eric, they're all on staff through August. And so we're all good. Everything is great. And when we get back, we will, God willing, see you again soon. You also have, in your bulletin, you've got a an insert that when you walk into a church, it's like, I'm in the wrong Sunday. I came on the wrong Sunday. Yeah, and part of the reason that we wanted you to see this today is because the leadership team, which is the general council of the church that's elected, we've been on a fiscal year that ends on June 30. Begins on July 1st. And so the leadership team moved that we return back to the fiscal year January 1 to December 31. And so this is a six-month budget that you've got in front of you. And Paul Schultz, our treasurer, is going to spend some time after the service. We're going to grab the cake. We're going to kiss Vi. And for those who would like to be, and then kiss Vi again, and then those who want to just stay back and learn about that budget because it's important for you to know things, we're going to invite you to stay back and just have some time, maybe 10, 15 minutes with Paul, being able to explain anything. Part of the thing we want to do in our church is over-communicate so that nobody feels under-communicated too. How does that sound? Right, that's why it's in your bulletin today. That's why you got an email blast. That's why the postman was knocking on your door saying, you've got to have this. We want to over-communicate. Part of the thing I want you to do is just quickly look at the mission line. And the reason I want you to just look at that for a moment is that 9 months ago when we arrived, what we found was really interesting, and that is that we worked with the leadership team on this, is that what we found is that there was a time period in our life at Christ Church when we went through, and Paul, I love the way you describe this, a perfect storm. We went back to find out about it. It kind of started in January of 2015 and ended kind of in the October 2016 time. We did our best to blame somebody, but couldn't find anybody to blame. Because everything is about blaming, right? We thought maybe it was a sin of some kind that we needed to look at, address, but it really wasn't. It was literally a perfect storm. And the reason I mention it is that what happens, just like when you get a cold or a flu, do you notice how you really can't do? You really can't be very well. You kind of have to group in and get well before you can go out and help others, right? And so that's what happened here. We just kind of, during that storm, kind of regrouped. And we have been known at Christ Church as a giving church, a generous church. And during that time, we kind of brought everything back in and just took care of ourselves until we got well again. The problem is a pattern began, and this is a pattern that happens from time to time. That is that we paid the bills, and then what was left over, we were able to give, rather than giving and then paying the bills. Does that make sense? And so our generous giving of over 10% in this church went down to a little over 2% during that time of the storm, and we didn't recover. And so the leadership team over these last 9 months has really committed to getting back to tithing, back to giving, fully and out. And so what you're seeing in this budget is we're moving from the 2% plus to the 5%, and we're on the way to 7%, we're on the way to 10%. How are we doing? The reason is this, is that it is so essential to understand the principle of giving and receiving. Because when we see it, we know it, we're actually seeing the heart of the Lord. And that's what's so beautiful about it. And that's the thing I find about this family, is that this family already is a generous family. It's just that the budget wasn't catching up to the generosity that the Lord's given us. And we're on the way back, and I wanted you to see it and know it. You'll find out more with Paul about all of it if you're interested after service. But the reason I wanted to bring it to mind is that generally when you walk into a church like this and you see money or finances, at least for me, it kicks back bad memories. I've lived in the last 30 or 40 years where we've seen scam preachers who say one thing but have their hand in the pocket of the people on the other. How many of you have known that? And it's been hard to watch. And even in the scriptures, it talks about the peddling of the word of God for selfishness. It's called greed, and yes, it's in the church, and that's called scamming, and it's wrong. The other thing I've watched in my time in service and in ministry is that the church has massively adopted business principles. And so part of the design is that rather than living off the word of God, we live off the business principles of the world. And then it becomes about how to make sure we get the money to come in to be a successful business, a church. And we miss everything. And so the reason I'm saying that is that a lot of times when we see something like this, it's like it brings back bad memories. At least it does for me. And so I just want to talk just for a minute about the beauty behind and the utter simplicity behind what the Lord wants to teach us in this kind of a conversation. Because it is actually designed for children. And I don't mean to say it wrongly, but it actually is. The Old Testament is given as a school teacher to actually teach us, because the Lord doesn't want to talk about the money aspect, because he's not after the money aspect, he's after the heart. And he's after the heart, he teaches us about money. Does that make sense to you? Did I go too fast? Can we keep going? So here's the point about it. He wants to teach us about him. Because here's the point about him, he's generous. He is generosity. He is radical generous. Do I have to prove that to you? I don't. I'll tell you why. Because all of you have memorized scripture. All of you, I'm sure. John 3:16. Who does not know? God so loved the world, he gave. It's who he is. And he didn't give us the least and the last. He gave us the best. He gave us his son. He gave us his son. And so what he teaches us in that is he wants us to know him, and he made us in his image. He wants us to be like him, and he wants us to grow us up to be in him by his spirit, to do what he and give us what he himself is. And that's the beauty behind this conversation. Whereas in the conversation about sin, it's the exact opposite posture. You got a guy in Luke chapter 12, and he's a wonderful guy. He's vastly successful. He's vastly wealthy, and he decides that what he wants to do is build up his barns, build up his riches, and he says to himself, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. It's mine. It's mine." Now, that story doesn't end well. If you want to read it, read the Bible, Luke 12. It's fascinating, just fascinating. But that's the nature of sin. In the kingdom of God, to see him is to see open hands. And this is what we teach our kids, open hands. In the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of sin, it's closed hands, it's mine. And the reason I make that distinction of open hands and closed hands is many of you know and can feel the closed hand. And many of you can know the open hand. And that's what the Lord wants to teach us. Let me do a separation. When I say it like children, this passage from Proverbs is one of the most basic teachings that we teach children. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Honor the Lord. In the kingdom of in the kingdom of the world, it's the exact opposite proverb. Let me see if I can read it my way. I put my trust in me. I lean on my own understanding. I actually decide what path in life I'm going to take. I decide what's morally right and what's morally wrong. When it comes to wealth, I honor me. Look, I earned it, I made it, it's mine, back off. That's the kingdom that we've been born into. And what the Lord wants to do with us and wants to teach us is the exact opposite. I want you to come to know me. And so the children begin to learn, honor the Lord with your wealth. And you've got two choices. When you go out and you work and you make something, you can say, I made it, it's mine, I'm taking it, I'm keeping it. Or honor the Lord with your wealth. Bring in the first fruits of the produce. Lord, I realize I went out to work today, and I'm coming not to praise me, but to thank you, because you gave me the ability. You gave me the mind. You gave me the strength. You gave me the breath. Look what's come. You've given favor. I honor you with my wealth. And so we bring in the first produce. It's literally an act of worship, and we begin to learn the principle of giving and receiving. We receive from the Lord, and we give in thanks and praise because of it. And we learn that that's the principle. You can make a choice and say, I'm not doing that, it's mine. And that is how most people today are living. I get that. But what the scriptures teach us is it wants us to know the Lord. It wants us to know him. And in knowing him, what he's given us. Early on in the scriptures, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there is a posture that the Lord warns us about. And the way it is said, I think, helps us at this moment. He says this, verse 17 of Deuteronomy 8, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. I did this. By the way, I'm amazing to be me. I look in the mirror sometimes, I just can't get over it. This is the heartache behind it, is learning that principle of giving and receiving. And knowing that in it is an act of worship. We're coming to honor the Lord with our first fruits. We're coming to give him thanks and honor and praise for what he's given, for who he is, and we learn that beginning principle. We're beginning to learn his heart. Now, I say that by saying that when the Lord Jesus arrived, I have to tell you, he was pretty ticked off with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. Because here's what they were doing. They were tithing and boasting in it. They were saying it became a duty, it became a law. Does that make sense to you? I do it, look at me, I tithe, I'm amazing. I'm doing what God said. Let me just tell you, if you do it and don't have the heart, don't do it. Because he's interested in the heart. Let me give an example. Husbands, if you remember when you were younger and you came home... Just pause for a moment. When you were younger and you came home with flowers and chocolates and gave them to your wife and gave her a kiss, do you remember that? Mary Beth's going, I don't think I do remember that. How many of you know, 10 years later, you come in, you throw the flowers on the things that here you go and go on. How many know, she didn't want the flowers, she wants you. That's the whole point of it. You don't give because it's duty. You give because you're given thanks. And that's the heart of the Lord for us. He said, and we, I mean, even early on, we teach this to children. When you do something wrong, say you're sorry. They say you're sorry. We say, no, go back and mean it this time. We learn it from the beginning. Do you have the heart inside of it? Is it you? And that's the piece that Jesus began to teach his disciples. And what he did in it is he actually took us off the conversation of money and put us on the conversation of bread. There came a day when the crowd was full and they were hungry. And Jesus said, well, what do we have? We have 7 loaves and a couple of fish. 7 loaves and a couple of fish. That's all we've got. And Jesus, what did he do with the bread? He didn't say, this is mine. This is wonderful. No. He did what we always do. How many of you say grace before you eat? This used to be very customary among us. Lord, we give you praise for what you've given to us. And that's what Jesus did. He took the bread into his hand. Point one. Number two, he gave thanks. Point number three, he broke it. Point number four, he gave it. And they got it. They received it and were told to go give it. That's the story. That is the kingdom of God. Right there in such simple language. We take what we've received. We give thanks. We break it. It's given to us to enjoy it. And then we go out and we give it. And then we're touching the things that belong to the heart of God. And the miracle of that day is the disciples got to know what it was like to be satisfied with that bread and then reach into the little that they were given and give to others to only find out that they were given more. And it's in the giving that you find you're receiving, and in the receiving that you find that every time you give, there's a miracle in it. And that's the whole point. I think we've talked about this in the last 9 months, have we not? Because it's systemic of who we are as a people. If we want to live in control of what we've got, in fear and scarcity, that we might not be prepared for tomorrow, we're missing the kingdom of God. If we want to live in the generosity of the Lord, we learn to not close our hands, but to open our hands. And that's what the disciples got to do. They got to learn what it was like to put your hand into almost nothing, give it away, and find that there's so much more there. That was the kingdom principle. The idea of receiving, the idea of giving. And you know the story. If you get it and you got it, you're changed by it. And when you're changed by it, you give it. Because what he gives is meant to be given. And if we don't give it, it means we really never got it. Because if we really had gotten it, we would have been changed by it. And that's what he wants to do. And that's the beauty of the gospel. He actually is the bread of life. He actually is the one who on the cross of Calvary gave thanks to the Lord and was broken for us. Broken that we might have life. Our sins laid upon him. He took it. He offered himself to the Lord in thanksgiving. That's why we call this meal, this bread and this wine, it's called the Great Thanksgiving. It's called Eucharist. The word in the Greek, Eucharistia, means thanksgiving. He offered himself for us. He was broken. And in being broken, he was given. That we might receive, in receiving be changed, stand up and go give what's been given to us. And so the scripture teaches us, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that's the beauty of it. Always the principle undergirding. Freely you've received, freely give. In freely giving, freely receive. And after you're done, give more, receive more, give more, and live. And that is where healing comes. How many of you know that money itself cannot satisfy the heart? Do you know that? Does anybody know that? Did you see what happened this week? A billionaire is in jail for sex trafficking. Are you kidding me? If I had $1 billion, I'd be perfect. You mean money can't make us well? You see the deception behind it. Everybody's struggling for success and knowing when they get it, nothing happens in return because they're just as bankrupt in soul as ever before. The world is spinning in a wrong conversation. They're getting to hold on, and in holding on, they are perishing in their mess. You're seeing it everywhere. It is everywhere. But when you step into the kingdom of God and you receive what Jesus has done for us, the heart changes. And that's why in Acts 2:42, the Pentecost power of God the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. They had glad and generous hearts. They gave because it had been given to them. And everything changes. You go into a church that forces people to give, leave it. Leave it. But you come to a church where Jesus is Lord, and you know that the Father is inviting you into a relationship and that the Spirit of God is here. Do you know what he's going to do? He's going to make us generous of heart, generous of mind, generous of time, generous of talent, generous of treasure. You won't be able to contain us. Does that make sense? This is the heart of the Lord for us. This is what we did when we first started planning a church in Pittsburgh in the late 1980s. We really didn't have very much. And I said to the church, really small little church, we need to be able to make sure that we're tithing as a church. Because we can't actually talk about it unless we're doing it. And if we're not doing it, I can't talk about it. And they said, excellent, we don't have it. And I said, well, let's have it. Let's put it in the budget. Even though we don't have it, let's see what the Lord does if we give it. And sure enough, you know, at the end of the first year, we were $30 over budget. 30! Woohoo! Eaton Park in Pittsburgh. There are times that you just have to begin to learn. And that's why we teach the kids. We learn to teach the kids. We always are a people of thanksgiving. We're a people that end up giving. I think the hardest part for me is the receiving of these things. When Errol and I, 25 years ago, made our first trip to Africa, and we went back into the place where it's just so poor that you can't imagine living what they don't have, when you live with what we do have, and the surprise of seeing the joy of Jesus on the face. And you go into the home or you go into the village and you sit and you have meal together, and all of a sudden the most startling thing happens. They bring us gifts of their heart to bless us. Who have nothing, to those who in comparison have everything. And you just want to, it's so hard to open your hands to receive. Things that they had made with their hands that would have taken days, they're now giving away. Just so grateful you've come. I saw more generosity sometimes amongst the poor than I see it among those of us who have. You know, and part of it is this, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to be a people after his heart. And you just have to watch out for him, because he's generous. He's just radically generous. He just radically gives. One of the things I love about what happened in the last 9 months, not only the leadership team decide to, you know what, we're going to go back. We're going to start giving. We're going to start doing this again. But also with Jim Lucchese's leadership and with the leadership team behind, the Lord formed a mission team. Now, we're already doing mission with Thrive and doing mission with Kairos and doing mission with Help for Kids and other aspects. But now we have a mission team because we want to know how we can be hands and feet in Prince Creek, what we can do for the homeless that are here, what we can do for the kids that are kind of pushed aside. What does the Lord have for us here as a family at Christ Church where we can take what we've got and give what we've got and go do mission? Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the Good Samaritan world that's out there. Kids all over the world. We're going to see the joy is this, is when you know him, you have to watch out because he's contagious. Did you know that? He is contagious. He is, because what we learn from him is the outpouring of grace and of love and of kindness that comes from his heart to our heart. And at the last day, when we breathe our last, we have no idea what's been prepared for us to come. The glories to come, the inheritance he's given us in Jesus forever. I mean, that the astounding inheritance we have, if we have nothing and have him, we've got everything. Do you want me to say that again? I can't. But anyway. Freely you've received, freely give. And so we come to the budget. Say, you know, if we don't have enough, Lord, would you just provide for this church? Would you just give? Would you be Lord over our budget? Thank you for the leadership team. Thank you, Paul, for what you do. For Lori, our bookkeeper, who watch over it. We have to do it. It's just that this church isn't about business. This church is about family. And where there's family, Jesus presides. And where Jesus presides, he teaches us his Father, his heart, the Holy Spirit's heart. And then watch out, because as he pours out to us, he's going to pour out to this whole community through us. In Jesus' name. Lord, if we are holding back with clutched hands, in the name of Jesus, would you open our hands for your glory? Praise the Lord.